Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Numbers 13. Title of our message this morning is Facing Your Fears. By the way, I want to congratulate all of our young people that went to fine arts. This past week, all of them received an excellent rating. We just want to commend you on that and congratulate you and just encourage you in using your gifts for the Lord. Yes, give them a hand this morning. And friends, you may not realize it, but we have a miracle in the house today. Over to my left, little baby Aspen is here, John and Sandra Lutz's little granddaughter. Amen. We were praying for her. She was not born with a diaphragm. She's the only child that was put on a certain machine in Denver that has survived. Every other child that was put on that machine never lived. And so she is a miracle baby. And you want to see the power of God? Just look at that little sweetheart right after service. And you know that we serve a God who lives. Amen. Welcome, Aspen. Good to have you here today. So we're going to talk about facing your fears. I was doing that the past 6 weeks, preaching that series we just got done on love, sex, dating, and marriage. But we face a lot of different fears in our lives. 3 weeks from now, as we celebrate Easter, we're going to celebrate the cross. And for Jesus, the cross was his greatest moment. It was his greatest pain, his greatest suffering, but it was also his greatest triumph. It was his greatest victory. It was his crowning achievement on planet Earth. But for his disciples, it was really their worst failure. It was a time when they all turned their back on Christ. They ran in fear. They disowned him. And the reason was because of fear. You see, fear keeps us from walking with God. Fear keeps us from achieving God's destiny for our life. Fear paralyzes us from advancing as a believer. And if you and I are going to advance, if we're going to be like Gideon, who was a miracle, we talked about that at the beginning of the year, to be the miracle. God wants you and I to be a miracle in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our places of employment, in our schools. For you and I to be the miracle, we need to do what Gideon did. We need to conquer fear. Today and next Sunday, we're going to do a mini-series talking about fear. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk about a formula for fighting fear. There is a formula found in the book of Philippians that will help you overcome fear in your life. This morning, though, we want to talk about the fears that we face. How do we face our fear? We're going to look at fear in depth because if you don't understand the problem, you can't solve it. If you have a sore stomach and the doctor diagnoses you with nausea and you really have an appendicitis, how many of you know you're going to have a big problem later on if the diagnosis of the problem isn't right? On the flip side, if the doctor says you have an appendicitis and all you have is a little case of the stomach flu, then you've got another problem. And so you need to understand what the problem is before you can accurately solve it. And for us to face our fears, we need to understand what fear is and how do we face it. What is it about it? And to do that, we're going to look at Numbers chapter 13. The setting here is the nation of Israel. God has set them free from slavery in Egypt. The Lord has given them deliverance from Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt at the Red Sea. God has provided food for them. He has provided water for them. He has been faithful to them. And now they are ready to go into the promised land. And Moses sends 12 spies, one from each of the 12 tribes. They go in the land, and the spies come back. And let's just pick it up in verse 26. Now they departed and came back, that's the spies, they came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and all along the banks of the Jordan." In other words, they were saying, everywhere you go on the land, there's a strong people that live. There's nowhere for us to live. And it's then in verse 30, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him, the other 10 spies, said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." Chapter 14, "So all the congregation lifted their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us out to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it have not been better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.'" Friends, if we do not conquer fear, it will prevent us from living the life that God has destined you and I for. How do we conquer fear? What do we need to understand about fear? If you're taking notes this morning, point number one, fear begins with your thoughts and emotions. Fear begins with your thoughts and emotions. Fear begins with our thoughts and emotions. It begins with what we feel, with what we think, and what we see and what we hear. What I see and what I hear and how I respond to that can really determine if I walk in fear or if I am a person who walks in faith. Thank you. In verse 28, the 10 spies says it's a land of great blessing. They also said, "We are not able to go up against this people. They are strong. The cities are fortified. The descendants of Anak, who are giants, live there." And it made them fearful. They saw the big people, the giants. They saw the strong cities. And what happened is fear gripped their lives. All because of what they saw and what they heard. And friends, there will be things in your lives that you see something take place. You hear a comment, and all of a sudden, in just a microsecond, boom, fear is there. And all of a sudden, your stomach feels like someone's taking it and twisting it. Something rises up in the pit of your throat, and it tightens up, and there's this fear that grips you. It makes you nervous. It makes you worried. And that is how quick fear can come into play. In verse 31, it said, "We're not able to go up. They're stronger than I. They are like giants." And they said, "They are giants, and we are grasshoppers in their sight." Now, here's the thing. That wasn't true. They're saying they saw us as grasshoppers. The people of the land never saw them at all. If they did, they would have killed them. They never saw them. And so fear causes us to believe something that isn't even true and real. Fear causes us to create an alternate reality, one that seems so real that it prevents us from moving forward. And we see the same thing happen with Peter and the disciples in Matthew. You can turn to Matthew 14 if you want. In verse 23, Jesus, he sends his disciples away, and he dismisses the multitude of the 5,000. He had just gotten done feeding 5,000 people. And then Jesus goes up on the mountain just for some personal prayer time. And he begins to, when he's all finished, he walks on water. Can you imagine this? He's walking on water to the boat where his disciples are at. And the disciples see him, and I want to pick it up in verse 24. It says, the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out for fear. Their thoughts of Jesus being a ghost made them fearful. But Jesus spoke immediately and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid." Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter came out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. When he saw the wind, then the thoughts of "this is bad." He took his eyes off Jesus and put it on there, and his thoughts literally sank him. Fear begins in our thoughts and emotions. And if we can realize that when I am in fear, it all starts with my thoughts and emotions. So if I change my thoughts and I take a hold of my emotions, I wrap them in the belt of truth, that is how I face my fear and begin to conquer it. It begins with my thoughts. Peter hears Jesus say, "Come," he trusts. Peter sees the waves and he fears and he falls. What do you hear? What are the voices that you're hearing? What are the voices you're listening to? What are the mental images that you're letting play in your mind? Do you let your mind play the worst scenario or the best scenario? Do you let your mind play out, "Well, God is not in control and God is not going to come through and you are sunk"? Or do you play out the thought, "God is with me, God loves me at all times, He cares for me, and that all things work together for good. It might be bad now, but ultimately it will work out for my best"? You see, the pictures and the thoughts that I play in my mind, the mental voices that I rehearse, will determine if I have fear or if I have faith. Fear is believing. Here's an acronym for fear. Fear is believing that foreboding expectations are realized. Foreboding means bad. What you're thinking that the worst can happen. Fear is thinking that your foreboding expectations are realized. The worst is going to come. Faith and fear are very similar, but they're also different. Here, fear is believing that something unseen will happen. Okay? Fear is believing that something unseen will happen. "I'm afraid this roof is going to cave in on me. It's unseen. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm believing it's going to happen. This roof's going to cave in on me. I've got a fear this roof's going to cave in on me." Faith is believing that something unseen is going to happen. "I've got faith. This roof is going to hold up. You guys did a really good job when you built this. It's going to stand strong. I have faith. I believe it's going to stand." And that's the same thing. You can choose either fear or faith, but both have to believe that something unseen will happen. So do you have faith to believe that your neighbors can come to know Jesus? Do you have faith to believe that you can be a powerful witness? Do you have faith to believe that you can overcome sin? Or do you have fear? "No, I can't witness for Jesus. No, I can't overcome this sin." Faith and fear both believe that something unseen will come to happen, but fear is the focus on the worst in life, while faith is the focus on the best. Fear is dwelling on thoughts that God is not in control, that God is not dependable. It's focusing that, hey, God's not watching out for you. He doesn't care about you. Whereas fear, on the other hand, focuses on God's in control. All things work together for good. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And so it all begins with, what do I think? What are you thinking about God? About what is happening in your life? About how God feels about you? Some of you may be here today, and you're like the children of Israel. You're seeing giants in the land. You're wandering in the wilderness. You don't see God moving in your life, and you've got fear that God is not in control. You can change that today by simply taking hold of your thoughts and saying, no, I believe something unseen is going to happen, that God is going to work this for good, that God is watching for me. I can cast all my cares on Him, and He cares for me. Fear begins with our thoughts and emotions. That's the first thing we need to understand about fear. Number two, the second thing we need to understand about fear is that fear is a choice of our will. Fear is a choice of our will. You can flip to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. After fear plays on our thoughts that the roof is going to cave in, or I'm not going to pay my bills, or I'm going to have problems at work with this person, whatever your fear is, after it plays on it, you and I have a choice to make. Am I going to give in to these thoughts and feelings, or am I going to deliberately choose to stop thinking about it and think about something else? Fear is not a feeling. It's a choice. Just like faith is not a feeling, it's a choice. We walk by faith and not by sight, not by what we feel. Faith is a choice. Fear is a choice. And sometimes our choice, it goes back and forth, back and forth. One time I'm trusting God, the next time I'm not. And we can be like yo-yos, living life up and down on a roller coaster. We see this in Genesis chapter 12 with Abraham. In verses 1 through 9, God tells Abraham to leave the place that he's living. It's a city. They live in a nice house. They have markets. They can go to the market and buy food. It's like Walmart, okay? And so they're living in this city. God says, leave the land that you're living in. Leave the city you're living in. Leave your family. Just go ahead and get out of there. Just leave it all and go to a land that you know not of. Now, friends, how many of you, if God said, I want you to pack up everything you have in a U-Haul trailer, and I want you to go west. I'm not going to tell you where, but just go west, and I'll tell you when to stop. How many of you would do that? Yeah, some of you would. That's a little scary, isn't it? Leave your job, leave your family, sell your house and everything, and go west. And now think about Abraham. He's living at a time when there are no police. He's living at a time when bandits and marauders run wild, and they can rob you, they can kill you, they can take your wife and children and everything you've got. Now, he didn't have any kids at the time, but this was dangerous for him. He's not living in nice, secure America. It was a tremendous risk for him, but Abraham chooses with his will to leave everything and to follow God. But now look at verse 10. There was a famine in the land. He comes to the land, he's living there, and in verse 10, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe. Now, God told Abraham to leave his city and go to the land, right? Did God tell him to leave the land and go to Egypt? No. God never told him that. It's just that he saw the famine, and he was afraid, and he chose to leave the land that God told him to go to. Friends, if God has told you to do something and he hasn't stopped telling you to do it, and things start going bad and you're experiencing a famine, you need to stay in the place where you're at and don't move until God says to move. Abraham let fear cause him to choose to leave the place God told him to go to, and he goes to Egypt. And then in Egypt, he realizes his wife is so beautiful, and fear grips him, saying, "These people don't know God. They're going to see how beautiful my wife is. They're going to kill me so they can marry her." So, because he's afraid of being killed, he tells his wife to lie. He makes another choice based upon fear. He gives in to fear. He chooses fear, and he lies. Now, God works it all out. Someone was going to marry her, and God turned around. He protected them. But he goes back to the land that he went to eventually. And you see in chapter 13, he gets on a hot streak with some faith. In chapter 13, he has faith that God will take care of him when he lets his nephew Lot pick the land of where he's going to live. Lot picks the best land. He leaves Abraham with the scrub, but he trusts God. He has faith in God, and he doesn't fear. Chapter 14, he has faith that God is going to help him rescue Lot. Lot was stolen by four kings that came and attacked where he was living. Four kings fought five kings and beat them. Okay? Abraham, with 318 servants, are going to go fight against four kings that beat five kings. What kind of odds are those? I don't know about you, but I mean, if five armies couldn't beat four, you're going to do it with 318 servants? What are they going to use? Spatulas? And brooms? I mean, come on here. But he has faith, he trusts God, and God gives him victory. But then in chapter 16, he goes down the roller coaster. He is fearful. I'm never going to have this son that God promised me. I'm not going to be a father of a great nation. And so Sarah, his wife, says, "Hey, take Hagar, my Egyptian handmaid. Take her and have a son through her." I wonder if they picked her up in Egypt. You ever thought about that? If he wouldn't have went to Egypt in the first place, he maybe never would have got Hagar, where he would have then had another bout with fear. You see, fear snowballs in our life and creates more problems. The less you and I can live in fear, the better off we are. Friends, Abraham shows us that you and I as believers can live our life up and down on fear and faith. Just when it looks like we've got this thing licked, it comes back again. We always need to be aware, because Satan walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when fear, those thoughts come, we need to make a choice of our will. No, I will not give in, because fear is a choice. You don't have to live in fear. God can break the power of fear in your life. Yeah, that's a good place for an amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You don't have to live in fear." You guys seem like you're still living in daylight savings time last week. Fear chooses to focus on people and circumstances. There's a famine in the land. They're going to kill my wife. We're not having a son. Fear focuses on people and circumstances. Faith focuses on God. God will give me a son. God will protect me as we leave this city. God will provide for me, even though there is a famine. You see, the whole difference is the focus of our mind, the focus of our will. Are you focusing on God today? That he is an almighty God? That your Redeemer lives? That he died, but death couldn't hold him? And he is alive and a well? He is all-powerful, and he can take care of you? Or are you focusing on your circumstance? Are you focusing on your boss? Are you focusing on that difficult person at work or at home, and you're living in fear? Are you focusing on your lack? You don't know how you're going to provide. You don't know how you're going to pay the bills. Or are you focusing on Jehovah Jireh, your provider? It's a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whom you will focus on, people and circumstances and problems, or the Lord God Almighty. You can be free from fear. When we choose fear, we choose to lose. We choose to let our circumstances control us. But when we choose faith, then we're choosing God. And when you choose God, you ultimately win every time. You may not see it now, but if you choose God, you will win. And it may not be until heaven. You look at the hall of faith, not the hall of fear, but the hall of faith in Hebrews 12. There were some that were delivered from the mouths of lions then, but there were others that were sawn in two. But you know, the ones that were sawn in two, they're up in heaven. They won. And death can't touch them. There's no more sorrow. There's no more pain. And they have a victor's crown. Never lose sight of eternity. That is the ultimate victory. What does it profit a man to gain the entire world and to lose his soul? Don't give up on God today. He loves you. He cares for you. So first we see that fear begins with what? Thoughts and emotions. Secondly, fear is a choice of our will. The third thing that we need to realize about fear is that fear is conquered by facing it, not running from it. Fear is conquered by facing it, not running from it. I was reading in the book of Acts this past week, and I stumbled across one of those little seemingly insignificant details, one of those little facts that, you know, why did they put that in there? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me something that I realized is a key to being delivered from fear in your life. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. It says, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Paul and Barnabas had finished their first missionary tour. They went to several cities. They raised up many churches. And now that they've been back a while, they say, hey, let's go back and check on them. Let's see how they're doing. Now, on their first journey, they took a young man with them named John Mark. Shorten it, his name is Mark. They took Mark with them, and after the first stop of Cyprus, they had encountered some conflict. They encountered some head-on difficulty, some spiritual warfare. John Mark said, man, this is too much for me. I'm going home. I'm done. No more of this. Well, it says in verse 37, Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted they should not take him with the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. The contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Barnabas says, yes, he's going. Paul said, no, he's not. Yes, he is. No, he's not. Yes, he is. No, he's not. They split, and Barnabas takes John Mark. And now look at this. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Circle Cyprus there. When I read that, the Lord spoke to me and said, Craig, Barnabas took John Mark right back to the place of his failure. He took him right back to the ghosts that were haunting him. He forced him to face his fear. You know, how many times in our human logic we'd say, you know what? Let's go to an easy place. Let's go to a place where he can get a few wins under his belt, where we can kind of build up some confidence in him. And then when he's got enough confidence, then let's go back and deal with the tough stuff. Barnabas says, no, I'm taking John and I get Cyprus, Paul. Because John Mark needs to go back to where he failed. He needs to face his fear. He needs to face the very things that caused him to quit in the first place. Because until you're ready to face your fear, you cannot conquer it. So many times we run from fear. We're afraid, and we are afraid to admit we're afraid. We stuff our fears, and we don't face them head on. Three ways to face your fears, they're in your notes this morning. First, face it with honesty. Face it with honesty. Admit that you're afraid. Tell God that you're afraid. He already knows it. You can pour out your heart to God and tell Him everything. Don't hold anything back. Let go of all the emotions that you have been bottling up for weeks and months and years, the things that you have buried and you haven't wanted to address. Just lay them out to God. Say, God, here they are. They're yours. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He wants you to lay all those things down, and He says, I will bear that burden for you, and I'm going to give you my light and easy road. Be honest with God. Tell Him what you're anxious about your finances, about your future, about your fear of being abandoned, your fear of not having enough, your fear of, God, are you ever going to show me what to do with my life? I feel like I'm floundering. I feel like the biological time clock is winding down, and God, I still don't have Mr. or Mrs. Miss Wright in my life. And so you just take the first person that comes along. It's like what we talked about the past 6 weeks in our Love, Sex, Dating series. Don't pour those fears out to God, whatever they might be. Number two, face your fear with determination. Determine that you will not be fearful. It's a choice of your will. Next week, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4 in the formula of fighting fear. And one of the keys, Paul says, be anxious for nothing. He gives a command and says, don't be anxious. Do you realize when we're being anxious, it's a sin? Because it's a command to don't be anxious. And so we need to say, I will not be anxious. I refuse to be anxious. We need to have that determination that when fear raises its ugly head, we take that machete and whew, slice it off and say, no more. I'm going to focus on God, not on my circumstance. It's a choice. You need to face it with determination. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So if you have fear, you have received something that is from the devil. And you're nurturing it. And you're coddling it. It's like you're coddling a baby cobra that'll strike you and kill you. When fear comes, that did not come from God. And if you're living in fear, you are receiving a gift from Satan. Cut the head off and say, no, I will trust God because He has given me power, love, and a sound mind. That's what He has given me. And the third thing we need to face fear with is face it with the Word of God. Face it with the Word of God. As you face fear, repeat scriptures that talk about fear. You say, how do I find them? Two ways. If you're savvy with the computer, go to BibleGateway.com. All one word, all lowercase, BibleGateway.com, and you can type in the word fear, and it'll bring up every place in the Bible where fear is, and you can look at every verse and write down the verses that God speaks to you on. Or you can use the word faith, or you can use the word trust. But find verses in the Bible. If you don't have access to a computer or don't know how to use it, our church library has two concordances. You can come to the library and do a word search. You just look up the word fear, and it lists every verse there, and you can write them down, and you can begin to find verses that help you with fear. Psalm 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side. Woo! How's that? When I was a kid growing up, you know, and you got in a fight with someone, you always wanted the biggest, strongest kids on your side, right? Hey, the Lord is on your side. You can't beat that. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. That's a great verse. Isaiah 43:1, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." I love this. "I have called you by your name. You are mine." We are God's. He says, "Don't fear, you're mine. I'm watching over you." Isaiah 44:10, "Fear not, for I am with you." Some of you here today, you feel like God's not with you. You feel he's a million miles away. He says, "I am with you." Get rid of the fear that he's not there and face it with the word. "Don't be dismayed, I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you." He doesn't say, "No, I won't." He says, "Yes, I'll help you." He's promised he'll help you. Stand on that. Isaiah 54:4, "Do not fear, you will not be ashamed, neither disgrace, for you will not be put to shame, and you will forget the shame of your youth." Maybe there's something from your past a long time ago. You're still living in fear and shame. God says you will not live in that anymore. It's not going to stick with you. He says in Jeremiah 17:7-9, "Blessed is the man who trusts in God, whose hope is in the Lord. He's like a tree planted by the waters who spreads its root out by the river and will not fear when heat comes. The leaf is green. He won't be anxious in the year of drought, nor will he cease from yielding fruit." Friends, God tells us we have victory. There is no need to fear. We can face it head on, and we read the back of the book. We read the middle of the book. We read the beginning of the book, and we win. He is with you this morning. What are you afraid of? You afraid of not having your needs met? Worship team, I'd like you to come this morning. "My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory." Philippians 4:19. What are you afraid of? You afraid of being alone or abandoned? "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews 13:5. You afraid of failing? "Through our God, we shall do valiantly. Through him, we will tread down the enemies." Psalm 60, verse 12. Are you afraid that people won't like you, that nobody will love you? Jeremiah 31:1, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Are you afraid you've sinned and you can't be forgiven? 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sin, he's faithful, he's just, he will forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from 50% of our unrighteousness." No, not 50, 100% all of our unrighteousness. Friends, there is no fear that is founded for you and I to live in, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Are there some fears that you need to face this morning? Some fears that you need to give over to God? There is a man, his name was Janus Roos. He was a young shoemaker who lived in Nazi Germany during the time of Adolf Hitler. And to gain favor in business, he began to get involved in pro-Nazi wartime activities, attending rallies very much for Hitler. And when the war ended, he was fearful for his life, fearful that he would receive some kind of punishment because he was for the Nazis. So he fled in fear to the country of Slovenia to live with his sister in her farmhouse. For the next 32 years, he never left the house. When company came over, he went out in the barn. He only looked down to the village in the valley below, and he never went there himself. When he heard people, the voices of people, they're laughing and having a good time, he cried while he's in the barn. Finally, 32 years later, His sister goes to town to buy a great quantity of bread for him. And someone was curious as to why she was buying so much bread. And they did a little investigation. They found out he was there. And when they found out the whole situation, some reporters came. And Ruth said to a reporter, he said, "If I had not been discovered, I would have remained in hiding. So I am happy that this happened." It took 32 years. Fear put him in a prison. Not one of concrete blocks and iron bars. He could leave any time he wanted, but it paralyzed him. And that's what fear does to you and I. Fear paralyzes us from going forward and being the miracle that God wants us to be. It keeps us from going forward into the promised land and finding our destiny. It causes us to do wrong, to deny Jesus like the disciples did, instead of doing what is right. Fear brings pain. Fear brings hopelessness. But friends, my Redeemer lives. Your Redeemer lives. And He is alive and ready to set you free from fear. All you have to do is to make the choice to face it this morning. Let's bow our heads.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.